Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, and a happy Memorial Day out there to those of you in the United States who might be tuning in today. It's such a pleasure to have you here with us on today's show. And before I introduce you to our multiple returning time guest, Mark Golston, who is a friend and a mentor, I want to first start by thanking our sponsors who make today's show possible, the people at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including executive search, temporary placement, and payrolling services. So please do keep them in mind for all of your potential recruitment needs. Today we have with us on the show Dr. Mark Golston. He is a board-certified psychiatrist, consultant, coach, speaker, mentor, and crisis interventionist. He is regarded as a thought leader in the area of communication, cooperation, collaboration, and empathy. With his book, Just Listen, Discover the Secret to Getting Through to Absolutely Anyone, becoming the top book on listening in the world and a topic he speaks on globally. That topic included a 6-hour, one-day sole presenter training to managers of the Russian Federation in Moscow a couple of years back. Past or present companies and institutions he has worked with and or spoken for include Harvard Business School, IBM, Mattel, Coca-Cola, Toyota, Hyatt, and many more. In addition to Just Listen, Dr. Golston is the author of multiple other books. One of his other recent books is Talking to Crazy, How to Deal with the Irrational and Impossible People in Your Life, and was an Oprah.com featured book and an Audie Award 2016 finalist. In addition, he writes for business journals, Harvard Business Review, Business Insider, Huffington Post, Fast Company, and Psychology Today, and appears widely in the media, including CNN, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Fortune, and Forbes. Mark, it's so great to have you back on the show again.
Well, thank you for having me back. I'm glad I haven't worn out my welcome.
I'll never forget, my friend, the first time I'd ever wanted to have you on the show, you came referred as the best speaker in the world on listening by another speaker on a stage who said, don't buy my book, go buy Mark Golston's book. And I think I called you that same day and you were gracious enough to join me on the show. The first time, I think it was in June of 2018.
Yeah, no, it's been a, and we've had a, and Jennifer came to a black tie gala where I was honored, and I was so touched by that and touched by our friendship and being able to mentor you a little bit and you being able to guide me. So that's it's been a great deal all around.
Oh, I'm so excited, my friend. And one of the reasons that I reached out to you and I wanted to have you on this show in particular is you've always, like you just said, been an incredible mentor to me along with other people around the world. And one of the things that I think we could all use a little bit of mentorship around right now is the current climate that we find ourselves in. It's, you know, it's been an interesting time for many of us over the last several months. And I know that you're in the midst of working on a couple of new books right now, which I would love to have you share with our listeners a little bit about. And then talk a little bit about perhaps what are some things that we can be doing? You know, millions, tens of millions of people just in the United States are finding themselves unemployed. So maybe if you could tell us to begin with a little bit about the current books that you're working on, then we'll get into some of the COVID-specific things.
Well, it's interesting. They're sort of moving targets because this COVID, no, the COVID situation has changed so rapidly. It seems at least every 2 weeks it shifts. And just on another podcast interview where we were talking about, gee, it just seemed like a month ago, it felt like we were afraid for our lives. And now it's almost normalized. I mean, I hate to say that because whoever dies today, it's changed their family forever. But, you know, now you'll see, at least in America, somewhere between 1,000 to 1,500 people dying per day from it. But it's almost something that we're just, I wouldn't say getting numb to, but we're sort of getting used to it. I would imagine if we figured out all the deaths from heart attacks and car accidents and sadly suicides, you know, we'd find a number much higher than that. But now the shift seems to be, if we don't get back to work or if we don't find a job, we're going to get depressed. Some of us are already turning to alcohol and drugs. There's an increase in suicides. There's clusters of increases in suicides because people feel really trapped. And, you know, I think what it brings out is this pendulum. You know, is it lives versus the economy? You know, is there a way that it can't just be one or the other? And I think it remains to be sorted out. But if you're listening in, you're probably thinking, yeah, no, that's fine, Dr. Goldstein, but how do I manage my life? How do I manage through uncertainty? And something that I heard from a client years ago, and I collect these eloquent quotes, eloquent because they just stay with me forever. And this was a woman who had gone through the death of her larger-than-life dad, who she was very close to. And she just came in, and she just didn't know what she was going to do. And then one day she came in, and she was calmer, and she smiled, and she said, you know, what it comes down to is living with life never being the same again. Living with life never being the same again. But that doesn't mean it will be entirely different. After 9/11, life was never the same again. We adjusted. After the Twin Towers went down in 9/11, New York has become amazing, and it lived with life never being the same again. If you're listening in and you've been touched by cancer, divorce, bankruptcy, we've all had situations that in the middle of it, we didn't think how we'd get through, if we would get through. But I think it's important for all of us to say we've already gotten through situations and we've adapted. And I think what's common to all these situations is when you're in the middle of one of them and the future seems uncertain, and that cannot just be COVID-19. It could be a divorce. It could be a cancer diagnosis. It could be bankruptcy. All of them have in common, am I going to make it into the future? What's going to happen? And yet we do make it into the future. I can tell you something that helps me, and I can't speak for everybody, but one of the reasons I love to mentor people like you, Jennifer, is I was blessed to have 7 mentors who've all passed away. And they were special people. You know, a mentor is someone, at least my definition of a mentor is someone who believes in you at those times when you don't believe in yourself, when they see a future for you, when you don't see a future for you. And if they care enough about you and you feel that, they're able to stop you from sometimes doing stupid things. At least my mentors were able to do that with me. And I would listen to them, because it was always laced with love. And I bring this up because at times when I am stressed out, I call upon something I call the Dead Mentor Society. So 7 of my mentors sadly have passed away, but I can call upon any of them and I allow them to talk me through any stress I'm feeling. So I'll give you an example. It's a little bit comical, maybe. I'm interviewed on a lot of podcasts and I'm fairly spontaneous. I'm tangential. So sometimes I'll get into a story and I have no idea where it's going to end. And I used to beat up on myself because afterwards I'd say, oh, I can't believe I did it again. Jeez, when am I going to stay organized? When am I going to stay to tell a story that actually matters to the audience? And so I'll call upon one of my deceased mentors, and I have this sort of affectionate relationship with them. And so whenever I call them one, they'll say, "What? You're waking me up? I'm resting in peace, Mark. Mark, what's it about? What's this about? You know, what's this about?" I said, "I did it again. What? I got tangential." You always get tangential, Mark. You're spontaneous. You're not scripted. You're unplugged. Yeah, but when am I going to change? And then they say to me, "Well, what'd the host think?" Well, this particular host was having me back for the third or fourth time. And so my dead mentor will say, "Mark, you know, you're spontaneous. You know, yes, you're not that organized, but, you know, the hosts seem to feel that you're giving value to their audience. So put a sock in it, Mark." Now, I'm sharing this with people because if you can talk yourself out of it, if you can use logic to talk yourself out of it, all power to you. That has never worked with me. And I'll tell you the reason why. So am I okay so far, Jennifer?
Oh my God. You know I love you, Mark. That's why we're having you on for the third time.
So here's I know just enough neuroscience to make me dangerous. No, I'm not dangerous, but the reason I've discovered that talking to a deceased mentor, but it could also be someone who's alive. It could be actually someone in your life. What I realize is that when I'm stressed out, and if you're listening in, when you're stressed out, something in your body called cortisol is released. And anybody who knows anything about neuroscience will know that cortisol is the stress hormone. And when it's released, it sort of readies your body to deal with the stress. But what it also does is it triggers the reactive part of your brain to kind of survive. And actually, that part of your brain is a little area called the amygdala. And it basically signals your brain to send the blood to your lower brain. Oh, wait a minute. Let that siren pass. Are they coming to lock me up, Jennifer? I don't know.
No, nobody knows. No, it's okay.
There you go. So, but what happens is when our amygdala gets triggered, it causes our blood to go to our lower survival brain. Fight, flight, or in the day of coronavirus, freeze, like a deer in the headlights. And when that happens, we can't think, because the blood has shifted to our lower brain. Now, what people don't know is there's another hormone called oxytocin. And oxytocin is our bonding hormone. It's what causes and enables young mothers to not throw their babies out the window who are crying all night long, you know, unrelenting. Because that oxytocin causes young mothers to bond with their infant children. And so when I talk to a deceased mentor and I picture him or her talking me down, what happens is I start to feel a surge of this oxytocin. I feel a bonding. I think of that person. I miss that person. I'm grateful to that person. I feel blessed they were in my life. And it may not work for other people, but I got to tell you, when I'm feeling that mixture of grateful, blessed, close, missing them, the cortisol goes away. And what happens is my cortisol goes down. My agitated brain calms down. And what happens is I'm able to start thinking again.
You know,
so if you're listening in, it's something I'd recommend highly. Or if you can logic your way through it. I mean, this wonderful advice where you can say to yourself, are you catastrophizing? You know, are you being realistic? Are you overreacting? And those are very good questions. But it's always worked better for me to just have a conversation with someone who cared about me.
I think that's beautiful, Mark. And another thing that I'd like to offer to people, because I can kind of hear and sense what sometimes our listeners are thinking out there. And part of what I'm getting a sense of is, well, gosh, Jennifer or Mark, I've never had a mentor before. And so one is, I think it's never too late to ask for somebody for advice. At some point or another, whether we meant to or not, we might have had a familial figure who might have been a mentor, or perhaps it was somebody in the workplace. And people love to be asked to be a mentor. So if there is anybody, and especially now more so than ever, I know a lot of the studies that I've done have shown that the quickest way to get ourselves out of depression and anxiety is to help another person. And twofold. So one, I would say Mark's idea is wonderful, to ask your mentors, alive or dead, either in your mind's eye or actually ask the person if they're still with us for that mentoring and release that oxytocin. And I would be willing to bet, Mark, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong on this, that you might equally be able to generate oxytocin by mentoring somebody else and also reciprocating that bond, being the mentor yourself, correct?
Oh, no, totally. Because, you know, you feel appreciated if you're the mentor. You feel valued. But you brought up an interesting point about going out to help someone else. Something else that Jennifer did is I did a TEDx talk. And my TEDx talk was called What Made You Smile Today? And I put it on hiatus because the world is just too tense to smile. But part of what I talked about is in the TEDx talk was actually, I told the story of a friend of mine who had a daughter who was a drug addict, and he just couldn't stand speaking to her because she was always manipulating him. And he thought he was just making it worse, avoiding her. So every day he would text her at 5 p.m. and he'd say, "Hey, honey, it's Dad. What made you smile today?" And he just did it every day. And at first she tried to manipulate him to get money. And he said, no money. You've already done it. And after 6 weeks, she texted him back on one of these nights. And she said, "If you must know, Dad, what made me smile today was knowing you would text me." And he got really emotional. I mean, he started to tear up and he said, "That was the first time that we really liked each other. And I didn't worry that she was going to try to manipulate me." And then 2 months later, she was off drugs, because part of her being on drugs is she felt she was a burden to everyone, which she was. And since she and her dad now looked forward to having the text exchange, she felt, "Oh, I'm not a burden anymore." And that helped alleviate things. But what I also talked about in the TEDx talk is that you can go up to people, and something that I have been doing ever since my friend shared that story is when someone serves me, and it's especially helpful now, although it's a little embarrassing because everybody has masks, but when someone serves me and I see their name tag, I'll look at them and I'll say their name and say my name. And I'll say, "Thank you, Judy. My name is Mark." And they look at you oddly. But you're leveling the playing field. They have a name tag. You don't. I mean, they can see it on your, you know, on your credit card slip. And the receipt. And I will say every day, "Thank you, Judy, you know, for helping me. My name is Mark. I have a question for you. What made you smile today?" Now, again, I haven't been doing it for a while because people are so tense and they might look at me like you're really crazy. Well, even before this, they looked at me that way. But they would pause and suddenly they would have this huge smile. And they would say, "Just waking up today," or "It's a beautiful day," or something that was my favorite is they'd look at me and they'd say, "Seeing you, sweetie," with a big grin. And what happens is you've turned someone who just feels like a function with a name tag into a person. You've given them a second chance to remember something that made them smile. They smile at you because they're grateful. And so what's happening is when you do that and they smile at you, they're feeling oxytocin. They're feeling oxytocin, you know, when you relate name to name. They're feeling something called dopamine pleasure when they relive what they were grateful for. And then when they smile at you, you feel it. You feel the oxytocin in you. You feel the dopamine in you. And also what happens is you walk away and you say, you know, I wasn't so self-absorbed today. I made someone a little happier today. And often when you make someone else happier, back to the point you were saying, you feel better about yourself. In fact, when I used to see depressed patients years ago, I would give them a box of healthy snacks. And I would say, every day if you see a homeless person, which sadly is you see every day in Los Angeles, or if you're walking by one, go up to them, identify yourself, say your name. They have names. You could say, hi, my name is Mark. What's your name? John. Hey, John. Here's a little snack. Maybe it'll make today a little bit better. I don't necessarily think you should say what made you smile today to a homeless person, although you probably could. But you give them the snack, and then, you know, and then you walk away. A lot of people don't want to have a conversation with a homeless person. A lot of times you don't want to give them money because you think they'll use drugs or alcohol. And then I would ask these patients to report back at the next session how they felt. And almost all of them said, I felt better. I felt less depressed. And the reason for that is some people who feel depressed or anxious, when you drill down, will say, you know, I'm self-absorbed. I don't care about anyone else. All I think about is myself, and I feel sorry for myself. Maybe, just maybe, I don't deserve to be happy. So when you go out and you give the healthy snacks, and you will often get a smile, and you feel you've actually helped someone, it helps alleviate that sense of shame that all I think about is myself.
I love that, Mark. I think it's such an important message right now. And to tie it in, too, to the job hunting world, one thing that I had written about years ago in my first book, Stop Hoping, Start Hunting, A Job Seeker's Guide to Finding a Dream Job, is having a buddy system. Of course, many of us remember the Great Recession in 2008 to 2015. And there were so many people who were unemployed. Obviously, there are more people now that are unemployed. And one of the quickest ways that we can support one another through these hard times, much like a mentor-mentee relationship, is having a buddy system, having an accountability buddy that you check in with maybe once a day, and you support them, they support you, vice versa, and you help to build each other up, and you even give each other leads for potential jobs or companies that are hiring. And when you create this buddy system, you've just created a sense of symbiosis. You're giving, you're receiving. And by creating that symbiosis, much to Mark's point, you're creating this oxytocin. And then by the time that you go to do a job interview or to have that tough conversation, maybe with a family member, you now have a greater capacity to be with somebody else, because I know for me, I have a quote unquote buddy friend who she and I have done calls every single week now for about 3 or 4 years straight. And every time we do these calls, Mark, it's incredible because I'm able to be more myself and I get to give to her. And some weeks she gives more to me and some weeks I give more to her. And it's this beautiful reciprocal relationship that you have. And in doing so, you're able to be the best version of yourself with your significant other or friends or with the people who you may be working with or going to interview with. And I think that this idea of giving and receiving, some of us give too much and some of us receive too much. It's funny, it was the article that I had just written for Humanity Rising. Are we takers or are we givers? And how do you find that balance? Because if you give without receiving, then eventually your well is going to run dry. And if you receive, then eventually it's going to be like drowning a man in water. So you have to find that delicate balance between giving and receiving. And I personally find that's where
you see this imbalance. So I love what you're sharing, Mark. I think it's so beautiful about just giving somebody a smile or taking the time to give and then to receive. Like you said, hi, my name is Mark. What's your name? And just creating that sense of unity and that I see you and you see me and we can be connected.
Yeah, absolutely. And you bring up something interesting about the buddy system. I have a podcast. You've been on it, My Wake Up Call, and you were wonderful. I hope people will check it out. And I did an interview where someone said, how do we stay awake? In other words, some people are discovering things through this crisis that are more important to them that they had neglected in the past. And there's more than a few people who, if you've discovered that, are thinking, I don't want to go back entirely to my old ways. I just discovered what's important. I don't want to drop it. So this is a great time to reach out and have a buddy. And actually, this would be a great time to mix this a little bit with your career. You could reach out to people on LinkedIn now because everybody is going through a shared experience. And you could reach out to people and say, I have an odd request. We don't really know each other. And here's my suggestion. Find someone who's in a hot spot, New York or whatever, because, they've been in more stress. And you reach out to them and say, I have an odd request. I see that you're in a hot spot. And I'll bet it's been kind of rough. But if you're like me, maybe you're discovering some things that are important to you that you hadn't thought about before, because I am. So here's my odd request. Could we check in with each other once a month to make sure that as we get through this and hopefully past it, may take a while, that we're still being accountable to the thing that we discovered was important? Because I want to hold on to that thing. And look, the worst they can do is say, what are you, crazy? But the point is, there is a commonality that there are a lot of people saying, I've discovered, it's more important to spend time with certain people. It's more important for me to listen. It's more important for me to be forgiving. It's more important for me to be, more caring about my fellow human being than about material things. But you can reach out to people, and the worst they can say is, sorry, it's not my cup of tea. But there are going to be some people who will say, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think you could do it on LinkedIn, Mark. I think you could do it on Facebook. I just had an old professional friend of mine who happens to be a Facebook friend, and she posted today, I need a hug. I could really use a hug. And I think that we are all siloed physically, but we're not siloed emotionally, psychologically. We're having this unified global experience. And sometimes we forget that one person might be having a really tough day, and reaching out and having that buddy system, whether it's once a week, once a month, once a day, each person is going to be different based on what they need. There's going to be this sense of camaraderie and unity. And I know from the people who I've spoken with who are job hunting, there can be that sense of fear and doubt and uncertainty. And having a friend, a buddy to buoy you in those times of despair or I can't do this. I know I had to reach out to you and many of my friends in the last 60 days when I had been quarantined by myself. And I said, you know what? I don't know if I can do this. But that's when you get to reach out to somebody and not try to power through it alone, is to realize that, yes, even if you don't have close friends, there's one person in the world somewhere out there who would love nothing more than to hear from you and to have that relationship and to be able to make that difference for you. I think that's so important for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm reminded I just had Mark Victor Hansen, who people may remember from Chicken Soup for the Soul. He was wonderful. I had him on My Wake Up Call. And he has a new book out with his wife called Ask. And it's a great book because a lot of people, including me, have trouble asking. And as you say, I think just ask. And the worst people can say is no. And don't feel weak or shame for asking, because you're going to find a number of people who, especially when you're asking to do something that would mutually benefit each of you. You know, I want to be accountable to sticking to something that I've discovered is important. Let's help each other.
Yeah, and the other funny thing about that, Mark, is that by practicing asking for something that's really uncomfortable and that you're terrified of hearing a no about, you're going to strengthen your muscle and your capacity to hear no in those situations that really matter in life. Asking that person you're madly in love with or have a crush on out on a date, asking for that raise that you want, or going in for the interview and asking to, you know, meet with the next higher up person. Hearing no, the more we gain comfortability with hearing no and being uncomfortable with it, that increases our capacity to do so when it really matters and counts. So it's a win-win. You're practicing receiving a no, so that way you can strengthen your ability to receive a yes, and you're also doing something for the greater good, which is a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely. And I have to leave with one of my favorite quotes that I heard from someone.
Please.
A lot of times people don't ask because they don't want to get a no. And I heard a quote that I thought was great. And it's, when someone says no to you, it doesn't mean you're wrong or you shouldn't do something. It just means they won't help you.
Beautiful, Mark. Thank you for sharing that. I love it. And Mark, I do want to know, if people want to find out about the latest books you're working on or what it is you're up to or find my wake-up call, where would they go? Because I obviously want to promote everything you're up to, my friend.
Well my wake-up calls on iTunes and Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm excited because I've just teamed with someone that you may have met from the TEDx who's going to help me with the podcast. So we'll be putting videos up at YouTube. I'm going to put your video up on YouTube.
Oh, amazing.
Well, you put it up, so I'm going to follow. If you could
put
it video. So you can find, or you go to markgoulston.com, markgoulston.com, because I'm blogging up a storm and trying to share things that will help lift people up, help people get through this, help people connect with each other.
Beautiful. And you just had that wonderful article I read earlier today on Humanity Rising, I think. And it was on oxytocin, I believe.
Yeah, what I spoke about was that it's a little bit editorializing, but basically what I was saying is that we've all become addicted to excitement. That what technology has done to the world, and I have to take what I'm saying with a grain of salt because I'm a little bit older, but I think what's happened is technology has addicted people to adrenaline, which is about excitement, and people now find pleasure from excitement, and the opposite of that is boredom. And years ago, intimacy, which was mediated by oxytocin, men feel oxytocin, that used to lead to pleasure, and pleasure is mediated by something in our body called dopamine. But what's happened now is people have become so hooked on adrenaline that they no longer really relate to each other on an emotional way. And oxytocin is starting to become extinct. And one of the things that made me feel a little bit sad and disappointed is during the stay-at-home thing, there could have been all kinds of things to help people connect with each other emotionally. But what happened instead is the world threw stuff at them to entertain them. Oh, here's live streaming. Here's something you can do. Here's a game you can do. And granted, you're relating to the other person. You're having fun with them. I'm not against fun while you're in quarantine. But so much of it was, we'll give you something that will keep you entertained. And it was an opportunity to also give people things so that they could connect emotionally. You know, the world has, as I said, gotten seduced away from connection and into excitement. So that's what the article was about.
Yeah, it was a great article. I shared it on my LinkedIn. So if you go to Jennifer Cahill, and I'm sure it's on your LinkedIn as well, but I did just share that article this afternoon. So you should be able to find that there. And please do check out everything that Mark is up to. You know, he's an incredible author. Look out for his latest books that will be coming out in the near future. And Mark, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. It looks like my welcome is still intact.
It's always intact. Welcome and a hug. The next time that this is all done, I have a great big hug for you, and I look forward to catching up and reminiscing about our respective experiences. I think that we all have had an opportunity to learn and grow from this, and for better or for worse, you know, we're going to come out stronger, wiser, and with greater fortitude to endure things that we thought we would never be able to endure. And to all of you tuning in out there, you know, my heart goes out to you, and, you know, please feel free to check. There have been a lot of older episodes that you can find dating back to 2016 with how to write a resume, job hunting stuff. If I can ever support anybody personally, you know, by offering you any tips or sending you old articles, that sort of things on job hunting, please don't hesitate to ask. You can always email me at jennifer@metabizics, M-E-T-A-B-I-Z-I-C-S. .com, and I'm happy to help and support everybody in whatever ways I can. That's why we do this show every week, is to support people's mental, emotional well-being. Job hunting is not just about having a resume and saying the right words in an interview. It's about having the mental strength and the knowing that you are worthwhile and you deserve to have the life, not just the job, but the life that you want. So that is why we host this show every Monday here on LA Talk Radio. And it's been such a pleasure to have you here, my friend. It's such a joy to always get to talk to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I'm going to hold you accountable to that hug.
Huge hug, my friend. As soon as it's legal, I will hug
you. Even if we're wearing hazmat suits, we're going to get that hug.
You have my word, my friend. You know my word is gold. So I promise I will give you that hug, hazmat suit or not. I think we should all just start wearing Furby costumes. I don't know where that came from, but those should protect us, right? If you have a Furby, we all dress up. That would make us all laugh as we walk around. But all kidding aside,
we cover ourselves in... We can cover ourselves in saran wrap, but that would be too kinky.
Yeah, I don't think that would work as well. I think the police might have a problem with that. I don't know which the police would have more of a problem with, the Furbies or the saran wrap, but I think we should test out both and see what works.
There you go. I got to go find my N95 mask somewhere.
I know, you and me both. Well, wishing everybody out there a safe, happy, and healthy rest of your week. Do feel free to tune in every Monday here at 4 p.m. I also invite you to join us on Mondays at noon on awaketvnetwork.live, where we host our Coalition for Global Unity meditations. You can actually find the one we did today with Jocelyn Herman Saccio, Landmark Forum leader who joined us today on the show for consciousness about how we can bring a little bit more awareness to our thoughts and our words. It was a really powerful, basically consciousness that we had today, and that was at noon. And if you go to awaketvnetwork.live, you'll find that at the top of the screen on the Coalition for Global Unity link. So please do check that out. It's a pleasure, as always, to be here with everybody. And be safe, be healthy, be happy, and happy Memorial Day to anybody out there who's celebrating.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.